At this time, I'd like to call the City of Santa Paula Planning Commission to order on September 27th, 2016. And Commissioner Demers, would you please just lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please stand, place your hand over your heart, and repeat with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we conduct a roll call, please.
Commissioner Summer?
Present.
Commissioner Demers?
Present.
Vice Chairman Robinson?
Present.
And Chairman Eichert?
I'm here. And let's go to the agenda, final agenda. Is this, are there any modifications to the agenda we have in front of us?
Nope.
Okay. Next item is called public comment, and this is the time when persons who have an item that that's not on the agenda would like to present it. What we ask is that a speaking form is completed, and we chose, if we so chose, to recognize them, they may comment at this time. And we do have one. I assume, Cheryl, that's what you're looking to talk during this period of time. So why don't we do that?
I'm Cheryl Hamlin, and I'm bringing this to your attention because someone brought it to my attention, and I wanted to share it with you, and perhaps we could have a report at a future meeting. And this is from the Historic Resources Study for East Area 1, and it says, it's in the introduction, and it says, the plan proposes the retention and rehabilitation of four historic elements existing on the property within the new development and on their present locations: the pump house, the ranch manager's residence, the palm trees flanking Padre Lane, and the packing house. According to the specific plan, the barn may be retained and relocated elsewhere in the property. All other existing improvements and the majority of agricultural features on the project site are proposed to be removed. So my question is, I know there's a lot of construction going on over there, so are we ensuring that these specific items that were called out in this document, are we sure that they're not being torn down? And I'm particularly worried about the 100-year-old palm trees, because they are later described in the report that they were planted and they suspect maybe around 1910. So if we could have a follow-up on what's happening to that demolition, that would be divine. Thank you. Here's the document.
Thank you. Well, it's here. Any commissioners have any comment regarding the item?
Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention, but I don't think we have any jurisdiction over that at all. But it can pass along to council, I believe.
Actually, Chairman and members of the commission, Cheryl has read to you something from the project itself. This was also noted in the environmental document for the project, and it has mitigation measures that apply to it. So I, in one opinion, your question's been answered. It was dealt with in the environmental document, which is not part of what you've appended to your comments. And you've also asked staff to look into this in a separate email to my staff planner, who I believe has responded to you. But if you'd like, we could spend some more staff time preparing a memo, but it's really a staff-level response back to you, Cheryl, on your question on what's happening with the project.
Right, so okay. I'm waiting for the answers.
I believe someone had emailed you back something.
No answer yet.
Okay, I'll check into that for you.
Okay, we'll leave that in your hands. Good. Let's go on to the consent calendar. We have on the consent calendar our minutes of the last meeting.
I just recommend a motion for approval.
I'll make that motion.
Do I hear a second? Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. I will abstain since I was absent.
I wasn't going to point that out, but I'm glad you brought it up. Are you okay?
I'm good.
You're good. Okay. All right. Now we move into the public hearing. Has the this hearing been properly noticed?
Yes, it has.
Okay. Are there any declarations of conflicts from commissioners? Any ex parte contacts?
Nope.
None? All right. Hearing none, we'll open the public hearing. And it is 16PD02 Arena Residence Setback Modification for One Car Garage Addition. And who's going to be talking about this? Joyce, you're going to be talking about it. All right. You're up.
Thank you, Chair Eichert and members of Planning Commission. As you mentioned, the item before you is a request for a plan development permit to allow a reduced front yard setback for a one-car garage. The project is located at 771 Levin's Court. This is an aerial view of the subject property. It is located at the end of a cul-de-sac. The road to the left and to the west is Peck Road, so it backs to Peck Road. The subject property is at the end of the cul-de-sac and is somewhere identical to this property right here, which is adjacent. What the applicant is asking for is a request for 8-foot 10-inch front yard setback for a portion of the one-car garage where 20 feet is required. It's essentially a one-car garage that will be attached to the side of a existing two-car garage. The reason a PD permit is required is because the project is located in a PD overlay zone. Typically, a request like this would be either a minor modification or a variance. The code indicates that when a project is in an plan development overlay zone, a plan develop it's essentially processed in the same manner as the original PD permit. And in order to modify a standard, a plan development standard, the Planning Commission needs to make a finding that the intensity of the use of the parcel has not increased so to have any additional adverse effects on the abutting properties or the community. So, as you know, generally you have findings for conditional use permits. In this case, that is the finding for approval of a PD permit. Here is a better look at the property, visible. So you can see this is the area where the one-car garage will be added. It's a two-car garage here. They're going to add a one-car garage there. In, I believe it was the 80s, the Planning Commission at that time approved a variance for the neighbor, and that's for this one-car carport right here. It's essentially located in the same location. So this will give you an idea of the property. One of the reasons that they need a PD permit is because of essentially the size and configuration of the parcel and how it's located at the end of that cul-de-sac. And so the front yard setback for a cul-de-sac lot essentially follows the curve, the arc and the curve of the cul-de-sac. And so that's better shown on this exhibit. This is a site plan. You see where the front yard setback basically just follows the entire arc. And so this entire area is their, by code, their front yard setback. Some people may think of this as a side yard because it's essentially on the side of the garage, but the way the setbacks are determined, it is a front yard setback and thus the need for a PD permit. This is another view, aerial up above. Again, this is where the garage will be located. The other unique thing about this property is that this is right there, it's a public walkway from 11th Street out or 11th Court out to Peck Road. So the parcel has a lot of unusual configurations that makes it difficult for them to put the one-car garage. In terms of the environmental review, a notice of exemption will be before the Planning Commission and approved tonight as part of the resolution. Notice of exemption is what CEQA uses for minor additions and remodels. And so in conclusion, the staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the PD permit. The project, with the subject, if the Planning Commission approves the PD permit, the project will be compliant with the Santa Paula Municipal Code. The development is compatible with the scale and character of the surrounding area. You saw they're all single-family homes. The project will essentially be identical to the adjacent property. The project also promotes orderly, attractive, and harmonious development. The applicant did submit a petition, which was in the Planning Commission packet, from his several of his neighbors supporting the request to build the garage. So staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the resolution was included in your packet. That resolution will approve the project. There was the resolution has attached conditions of approval, so those conditions of approval will also be approved, as well as the resolution has the exemption for CEQA. So that concludes staff's presentation. The applicant and the applicant's representatives are both here. The Planning Commission has any questions, and I'll be happy to answer any question the Planning Commission has.
Okay, good. Commissioners, any comments?
Just a couple, just for my own clarity. It seems to me, we say this is an addition of a one-car garage, but when I reviewed it, it almost seems to me that we're actually effectively taking a two-car garage and turning it into a three-car garage. So this one-car garage will not be a standalone separate structure. It'll be integrated into the existing. Am I reading that correctly?
That is correct.
Okay. And then it also seemed to me from the pictures you have here and from the plans that there's probably several of these permits to reduce the setback, judging from the look. I didn't get out a ruler and measure it, but it appears to me that not just it's highlighted the one neighbor immediately adjacent, but it appears from both the drawings and the pictures that there's probably several PDs of 20 feet. If you look at the house on the bottom, kind of the bottom center of the screen there, I don't think that's 20 feet there. So, and the only reason I'm making that point is because it kind of, there's nothing out of character from what's existing from what's in this proposal, and from my read of it.
Yes, and you are correct. We were, it took us a while to find the original PD permit, to know what, because generally your setbacks are adopted at the same time you do your PD permit. So that was actually approved, I think we found it from the 70s, and so there wasn't a lot of conditions and a lot of information for us to tell what has happened out there in terms of the setbacks, but you're correct, they're all slightly different and all, like you said, harmonious.
Thank you.
Any others? Commissioner Robinson?
I agree with Commissioner Demers. I was having a hard time visualizing this even with the information, so I drove out there and took a look at it, and the way it's designed and planned, it will blend in nicely with what's in that neighborhood. The one thing, there are nice houses there, and generally, as you can see, well-maintained, which is a good thing, but there are many, many cars parked on the street, and anything we can do in Santa Paula to get those cars garaged, I'm for. So I think this is a good plan.
Thank you, Commissioner Robinson. I also went out there to take a look at it just to see how it was, and I think it's good for the neighborhood, so I'm in favor of it. At this time, I have no cards from anyone for comments. So unless the applicants want to talk, I don't know that I need to hear any more.
No, they're here, but they appear quiet.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. We adopt resolution 3752, approving a PD permit for an 8-foot, 10-inch front yard setback in lieu of the required 20-foot front yard setback for a 280-square-foot one-car garage addition.
May I have a second?
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None? Hearing none? All right. It's passed. Moving on to B.
Help. Yeah, get out of it.
16 CDP04, Garcia Multifamily Use Reestablishment and Renovation Design Review. And who's going to, Joyce is going to present
that. I'm going to have Joyce do this, but I want to just start by saying, if you don't mind for a second, this
You're
is
Joyce.
An, this, no, I won't be Joyce, I'm going to hand it over to her. But this is an example of reestablishing a use to help bring single family dwellings, you know, back into the community after sad stories have occurred. Knowing that it's in a commercial office zone, it obviously needed a CUP, but my point to this is someone coming forward to try to reestablish a good use that's needed in the community. And after that, I will hand it over to Joyce for the presentation, but we are very happy to see this one.
Joyce?
Thank you. Chair Record and members of the Planning Commission. This item is a request for a conditional use permit and design review, and it is to reestablish a multifamily use in a commercial office zone and renovate the two existing homes that are on the property. Property is located at 224 and 224 and a half South Mill Street, essentially across the street from City Hall. Is an aerial view. The front house is 224 South Mill. The rear house is 224 and a half. There is an alley, and that alley, I'll show you later, is how they access the parking for the property. The alley is to the south of the property. And again, City Hall there is shown on the right of the aerial view. This is speaks a little to what Jana was talking about. This is a zoning map. The purple area is the commercial office, and that has quite a bit of residential in it. And then the yellow is residential. It's R2, and then the brown is R3. And so you can see the property is surrounded by other residential uses. And again, it's a residential use in that zone as well. The blue is City Hall institutional, and the red is commercial property. What the applicant is requesting and why they need a conditional use permit is that multifamily uses are allowed in the commercial office zone. And whenever you have more than one dwelling unit on a parcel, it is considered multifamily and it has to be built to R4 standards. So generally there are quite a few houses out in the area in that CO zone, and they are considered existing nonconforming because they do not have a conditional use permit. The reason why this applicant needed to get a conditional use permit is that the property was abandoned for at least 12 months, over 12 months, and once that happens, you lose your non-conforming status and you have to bring it into compliance. And so that is why the applicant is before you tonight, is to reestablish the multifamily use, and then there will be design review, which essentially renovate the two single-family homes on the property. Is elevations of the two properties. This is the front unit. And so the design improvements to be made is like that siding will be removed. It's actually vinyl siding, not wood. And so it'll be removed and it'll be stuccoed to match the rear house. The house will be painted. There'll be new windows, new fencing, new landscaping. The interior of the houses will be renovated, electrical, plumbing. A great improvement to the property that's out there. The photo on the bottom shows the back of the front house. The one with the door, this right here and this structure here, are both illegal structures that were built without permits. That they were built by the previous owner, not by this current owner. They will be demolished as part of this application. So we will; those will be removed. This is an elevation of the rear house. And as you can see, this is all, already stuccoed, so they'll essentially be doing the same improvements to this house as they do to the front house in terms of renovating the property. This will show you where the, this is sort of a better side view of or the alley and where the parking is proposed. This rear house at one time had a one-car garage that I think it was in 2007, there was a storm that damaged the garage and the city asked for the garage to be demolished because it was damaged beyond repair and so it was demolished. And so what this applicant is proposing to do is to take this parking space, which is now just a concrete pad, and relocate it over here between the two houses and then add an additional one. So there'll be two parking spaces here, one for each unit. The side of both structures, this side here and then the side of this rear house and the rear of it will be converted to either a common open space or private open space for these two units. So for the most part, as outlined in your staff report, the project meets all of the R4 standards. Those standards in which the property cannot meet are considered existing non-conforming. They can't be met because the buildings are where they are, and short of tearing down the buildings, the applicant has done a real good job of trying to meet all of the code standards as close as possible. So again, this is a project in which we are recommending a notice of exemption. Again, CEQA has a process if you have renovations or small additions, it can be exempt from further environmental review. That is what we are recommending on this project. So in conclusion, we are recommending approval of the project subject to the findings that were in your staff report and in the resolution for the conditional use permit. The project is compatible with the scale and character of the surrounding area. As I showed you in the first slides, it's surrounded by other residential uses. And as Jana mentioned, this is going to improve that area greatly in terms of that particular property. And the project promotes orderly, attractive, and harmonious development. We are recommending that the Planning Commission make the required findings and approve the resolution and determine that the project is exempt from CEQA and approve the project with the conditions that are outlined in the resolution. And with that, that concludes staff's presentation. Again, the applicant and the applicant's representative are here if the commission has any questions.
Thank you, Joyce. Commissioners? Commissioner Demers?
Just one point of clarity. As was mentioned, as you prefaced before the presentation about the return of this to residential use, would it be the goal of the city to see any of the other properties in this area to become residential, the ones that are currently non-residential, to eventually really transform the neighborhood more to a exclusively or overwhelmingly residential character?
It's kind of a mixed bag. It's zoned commercial. From the current general plan, we had hoped it would turn commercial. Obviously, that hasn't actually happened. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the demand for residential is so high at this point that barring changes, that area will probably continue to be residential. This particular block, I can't speak citywide.
No, I just mean this kind of surrounding.
Because I'm looking at the surrounding area, which is definitely residential.
Would then that require an adjustment of the general plan?
I think it's something that could be considered as we're going through the update right now, because the question I think you really have is, based upon what we're seeing happen on that street, should we convert it back to a different general plan designation? And this would be the time to ask those questions.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Robinson?
I visited this property as well, and welcome this proposal. It's a rather blighted piece of property presently, and these folks are our neighbors. It's right across the street here, and anything that will begin the process of cleaning up, you know, and making good use of residential opportunities, I would support. Just a comment. I was very impressed with the alley. I thought every alley in Santa Paula was in total disrepair, but this one isn't. It was very impressive. So build on that alley and make a good project out of this.
Okay, unless there are, unless the applicant would like to present something, I'll entertain a motion from commissioners.
I'll make a motion we adopt resolution 3753, approving a request for a CUP to reestablish a multifamily residential use consisting of two single family residences and design review permit for proposed improvements on the property subject to the conditions of approval already stated.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed? That passes. At this time, I'll close the public hearing. New business. Didn't we deal with this the last meeting?
Well, hey.
Design Assistance Committee. Weren't we going to wait until we got some new commissioners on board, or at least one?
Well, come on. Let me pose this.
Okay. Pose it.
Two things are happening. The application window for someone to put their hat in the ring for Planning Commission is closed. I believe the council will be holding interviews, I think, October 3rd, and then they'd have to come back to the subsequent meeting for a formal appointment. In the meantime, can you get him to sign?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'm sorry, I just wanted him to sign his
I understand.
So we can move on. What we'd like to do is, if the four of you could at least temporarily appoint someone in case we were to have a DAC meeting before the fifth commissioner is appointed, get that taken care of. We can come back to you once the fifth one's seated and see if there are any changes that you guys would like to make. The DAC has recently met. I'm not sure when we're going to have the next meeting, but it would be helpful for staff if we had a designated member. You can always change that subsequent at a different, you know, subsequent meeting. I can bring that back after even the November election, depending upon what happens to the current commissioner, you know, Robinson. Yeah. So that was my thought, is at least get the four of you pick amongst yourselves. We can always come back and look at it later in case we have to have a DAC meeting in the next 2 months.
When was the last DAC meeting?
There was one actually last week, and we hadn't had one for a few years because it's on an as-needed basis depending upon what happened. You know, if there's an item coming before them.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, based upon some things I heard at the Hardison House public hearings, that the DAC committee may be requesting meetings more frequently.
Well, I nominate Commissioner Demers for this position.
Second that nomination.
All in favor?
Talk about a railroad spike.
Trust that I can design and have some idea of aesthetics.
Well, we've seen your work already. It's
may I interject something before we
yes.
move further? I think that's an excellent proposal, and if you're willing to do it, I'm all in favor of you doing that. However, in what Jana said was potential temporary, but the bylaws say that it actually goes to the term, which how do we want to address that? Just if you're willing to do it through your term, which is what, 2 more years?
No, next year.
That's fine.
Okay, if you're willing to do that, then I think that's a moot point then. It doesn't need to be temporary, right?
Correct.
Okay.
If he were to leave,
We'd come back to
the commission. We'd still have to come back and do it anyway. So I think it's
in my straw, I'll be shorter.
Yes, yes.
Gentlemen.
Okay. We're good.
Congratulations.
Good. Yes. Welcome.
Thank
do,
you, Commissioner.
Do good work for us.
See what you get when you wear a nice
see he you wear a tie and a jacket. You're important.
And glasses.
That's, I think it's great. Okay, so now that he's got that, let's go over here to Peggy's private meeting. Oh, Miss Kelly, I see you there. I know you were. Okay, city communications, that's what it was.
Under city communications, we've just updated you on a couple items. One was the outcome of the River Rock Hardison House development that had come before you earlier this year. And as the paragraph states, it was at council twice, and at their September 19th meeting, the council did approve the project on a 3-1 vote. As well as item B under here was an update on the interview for planning commissioners. Any other news? Nope.
No other news, huh?
We're good. Okay.
Any requests for future agenda items, commissioners?
How about in other news, did we decide on those dates that you put out last week?
Sure. Thank you for reminding us of that. It's been kind of a long week already. The good news is there's no joint meeting in October. We'll just have our regularly scheduled planning commission.
Yes.
And based upon the input from you and Tom looking at the November-December calendar, we're going to have one meeting to cover November-December, which is December 13th. And that should do it. So we'll
good
have
job.
A regular,
good
regular
thinking.
October and then the one in December. And that should take us through the rest of this year.
So there is an October meeting?
Yes, you're normally scheduled one in October.
One in December.
You are correct.
No joint meeting with
them. Correct.
Why is that? Why I kind of got lost in that. What, was originally going to be a joint meeting? And then
there was some discussion about having a joint meeting in mid-October with the Planning Commission and City Council for one item, and that item is not ready, so we decided we'll just follow our normal protocol.
Okay.
To be painfully clear for everyone, the regularly scheduled meetings in November and December are canceled in favor of December 13th. Okay.
All right. We're all clear. Nothing further? We're adjourned. Good job, commissioners.
And Fred, you can get back to your game tonight.
Yeah, that big game. What was that? Who's playing this big game?
I don't even know. Well done, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, we made it through.